not exactly how I remember that song from my childhood, but residents in Beloit, Barneveld, and Baraboo have recently reported visits from black bears, and the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources issued an alert last month to be on the lookout for black bears in the southern part of the state. The uptick in bear sightings prompted us to do this Bears 101 show. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will talk with a bear expert from the DNR about bear sightings, habits, biology, and management. And welcome your questions or maybe your own bear encounter stories. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is David McFarland, a carnivore specialist for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. So what's with all these bear sightings, especially in southern Wisconsin lately?
Yeah, we have seen an increase in bear sightings in the southern part of the state. Some of the ones that you reported and others along the lower Wisconsin Riverway and the surrounding counties. And that's been relatively new over the last few years, but it is becoming more common. And this time of year is the time that we expect that to happen, as this is the time when especially young males are on the move. We're in the breeding season for bears right now. And so not only do we have bears roaming the landscape looking for mates, but also it's the time when the young bears are booted out from the mother that they've been spending the last 15 or so months with, and so they're roaming around looking for new territories as well.
Oh, I kind of feel sorry for them. So these are, especially the ones that I read about, seemed to be young black bear, probably these 1.5-year-olds that mom said, go get a life?
Yep. This is the time of year that they need to spread their wings and make it on their own. And it's interesting, the sows will tolerate their female offspring staying nearby, staying within their territories, but they won't tolerate their male offspring. And so most of the young animals that are roaming around in new places this time of year are young males who are striking it out on their own.
How long do the female cubs stay with mom?
Well, they'll no longer be with their mother. But the sow is willing to let them stay close. So they'll be fully independent. They'll be doing their own thing. But the sow doesn't force them out of her territory in the same way that she does the males.
Yeah, interesting. So, I mean, I think a lot of us consider the bear a part of the Northwoods and not so much Beloit. So the territory is expanding?
It is, and it has been for a long time. There was a pretty significant shift in bear management in the mid-1980s, and that was designed to increase the bear population, and it's been very successful. At the time, there was probably in the neighborhood of 5,000 bears in the state, and our most recent population monitoring data suggests there's right in the neighborhood of 29,000. And so we've had a significant increase in the number of bears in the state, but that's also been accompanied by range expansion. And if you look at the documents from the DNR back in the mid-80s, you'll see comments saying that it's unlikely that bears would ever live south of Highway 64, which for listeners who aren't familiar is a fairly major highway that runs north of Wausau and Chippewa Falls east-west across the state. And, you know, clearly we have bears far south of that point. And what we began to see as that population grew was first expansion into an area of the state that we call the Central Forest, which runs from the northwest to the southeast, roughly from Eau Claire down towards Portage. And, you know, that area started to have a higher density bear population. And now we're seeing continued expansion into the Driftless area around La Crosse and down into Richland and Sauk counties. And now we're starting to, on a more regular basis, have bears spotted even further south than that. And so while these bear sightings are new for the folks down in Rock County, Greene County, Iowa County, it's really just the latest front on what has been expanding bear population over the last 30-plus years.
I think one of the latest news stories I saw was from Baraboo, and I think that is where some young black bear were diving into some honey beehives. They're looking for a snack with someone's beehives.
Yeah, and the old cliche is true. Bears do love honey. Winnie the Pooh taught us that. and it is true. We have significant conflicts with apiaries across the state, and for both residential beehive keepers and also for commercial producers of honey. And that's something that we work with those individuals to try to resolve those conflicts when we can.
Yeah. So do they pull, besides maybe stealing some honey or eating bird seed from our bird feeders, do the young black bears that are wandering in our suburban backyards pose us any danger?
Well, the risk to people is relatively low. It's really more of a risk to property. That said, we have had people injured in the state. It's rare, but it does happen. And obviously an animal like this should be treated with respect. We'll occasionally have people who are unfamiliar with bears thinking that they can be approached or something, and that's obviously something that you don't want to do. If people do run into bears, the best thing to do is to give them their space and let them get out of there.
Yeah, and can you, that just means turn around and walk slowly away? What does give them their space mean?
Well, if somebody does have an encounter with a bear, which we actually have guests staying at our house right now doing some fishing, and they had an encounter with a bear in our driveway last night.
Oh my goodness!
It does happen frequently. But if somebody does see a bear, the best thing to do is to make sure the bear knows that you're there, and that can be done, just by making some noise, talking to the animal, yelling at the animal, making yourself appear larger by holding a jacket or holding your arms up over your head, and then just ensuring that the animal has an escape route. Where there can be issues is if people surprise a bear and they're cornered, next to a house or something like that. That's obviously a situation to avoid.
Oh, yeah. And so, I don't mean to pry, but you live in southern Wisconsin, David McFarland?
I don't. I'm up in Rhinelander.
Oh, you are in Rhinelander.
Yeah,
okay.
So we're in prime bear country up here, and bear sightings in our area are very common.
But so what was this guy doing or this gal doing in your driveway?
Oh, actually, they were just driving, so they had the protection of a car, so there was really no risk.
Yeah, I meant, though, so it's just common for a bear to be lumbering down the road and maybe come up your driveway.
Yeah, and we live in a very rural area adjacent to a large block of public land, and we will see many, many bear throughout the summer around my house.
It's been a long time, but I remember once, actually as still a child, a teenager, staying with my parents. This was way up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and we were at a lake resort and a cabins, and there was a bear that would come and visit and eat out of the garbage can. And we had a big crowd of people watching this bear, and oh, look at the cute bear. That was probably pretty dumb, wasn't it?
Yeah, and if you look back historically, that was actually something that businesses once encouraged, intentionally bringing bears in for their guests to see.
Oh, yeah.
And seeing bears is one of the highlights of many people in the North, and both residents and visitors alike. It's a popular animal; people like to see them. But that's any intentional feeding of bears is illegal, and it's actually illegal to allow bears access to food through garbage or anything like that. And so we try to prevent those situations, and we have tools available to help people avoid those types of conflicts. You really don't want to habituate a bear. Bears can become defensive of food sources. And so a situation like that where a bear is expecting to be rewarded when it comes in close contact with people is a situation that could turn bad for the bear and the people alike. And so it's really not something that we like to see.
Yeah. Darlene on Facebook, she does not say where she lives, but she says, I have already had 10 bear visits during April and May. The visits were of two and possibly a third different bear. One was about 250 to 300 pounds. The second looked to be 350 to 400 pounds. And the last one was 350 pounds. I don't know how she exactly knows that, but those sound like, that's a big adult bear, huh?
Well, those would be very large bears, but certainly within the realm of possibility. But yeah, they're a big animal.
Yeah.
And hopefully those bears are well-behaved for.
Yeah, I hope so, too. We will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll be back talking about Wisconsin black bears, the population, the management of them, the growing, expanding territory of them. And we'll welcome your questions for our guest expert, David McFarland, who is a carnivore specialist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about black bears in Wisconsin with an increased number of sightings, especially in southern Wisconsin these days. We are talking with our guest expert about why this is and welcoming your questions about bear biology. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is David McFarland. He is a carnivore specialist for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Lots of callers, but let me, before we get to the calls, David McFarland, ask you, how big is the black bear population in Wisconsin, and how does it compare to recent history?
Well, the population is growing, or has grown. We've actually been working to stabilize it in the last few years, and it seems like those efforts are proving successful in most of the state. But we have, our latest estimate is just shy of 29,000 bears across Wisconsin, and that equates to between 1.5 and 2 bears per square mile across the majority of bear range, which is a fairly high density bear population. We actually have a higher density population here than our neighboring states do, and so it's a good place to be a bear and a good place to see bears if that's something that you'd like to do.
Yeah, and I know that you had a online chat about bears, and it looked like a lot of people are very interested in bears. What seems to be the theme?
Well, there's always a lot of public interest in these animals, as there are with many of our wildlife species. We did have a chat. That's something that our agency has been doing on a number of topics, and the public seems to enjoy those opportunities to ask questions and interact with us. In terms of the interest that people have, they tend to fall into two categories. We have our hunting public that has an interest in harvesting these animals and have questions about those management decisions and the way to go about doing that. And then from the general public, it seems to be questions primarily about bear biology, some of the interesting aspects of this animal, and then how to avoid conflicts, as this is a species that does cause conflicts for residents, and so people have interest in how to avoid those issues.
Yeah, we'll get into, I'm sure, those issues as we go along. Let's go to the phones. Dwayne in Hayward is with us. Well, Dwayne, I bet you see some bear in Hayward.
Oh, yeah. See bears. 15, 20 times a year, but I have trail cams out and get them on the trail cams on a weekly basis. Our bear population is just huge compared to when I was growing up in the 60s and 70s. A bear track was a rare thing. Now it's common. You walk any sand or dirt road, you can easily find bears. I have to compliment DNR increasing the license tags. It's sorely needed. 1 or 2 bears per mile is a lot of bears, and I'm sure around here it's nothing to have more than that. We see multiple bears, sows with multiple cubs, something, you know, you used to read about a sow having twin cubs. It's nothing now to hear reports and see pictures of bears having 3, 4, and 5 cubs. Whatever reason that is for, when you have a sow that has 4 cubs, they increased the bear population in that square mile by a couple 100%. I had pictures of a sow, I have four cubs. I saw them when they were probably 2 weeks old, and a year later I saw them when they were all yearing. So she had no losses of her cubs, and that sow for several years has had, several times I've had pictures of her, she's had three or more cubs.
So more multiple births, do we know that for a fact, David?
Well, anecdotally we have been hearing that from a number of people, and it's actually something that we've started to look at, not the cub production specifically, but some population parameters. We've been, started a project with the University of Wisconsin where we're going to be looking at the bear population and different ways to estimate the size of the population. And part of that work is going to be looking at what are called vital rates, and that will, you know, things like reproduction, success of those reproduction events, survival, things like that. So we have been hearing that from a number of people, that these larger litters are becoming more common. And so we are investing some time and money in looking at those questions.
Really interesting. So maybe just kind of walk us through, a sow has one or two or three cubs. Kind of bring us through the life cycle. What's going on? Those cubs stay with her for a year, and then they usually move on. And, you know, give us those kinds of facts.
Sure. Well, the sows become sexually mature when they're 3 or 4 years of age, and they will be bred in June, and then the cubs are born in late January, early February. And those cubs are they're pretty small and helpless when they're first born, but they grow up pretty quick. And they'll stay with the sow through their first full year. They'll den with the sow again that second winter. And then when we get into the breeding season, which again is right about now, in June, that family group will break up. The yearlings at that point will go off and find their own way, and the sow will be bred again. And the cycle will repeat itself.
Oh, and does the male have anything to do with raising that family?
No. No, it's purely on the shoulders of the sow. So the males aren't involved in cub rearing in any way.
And do those cubs stay fairly close to home, or are they going to be in Hayward? Are they going to come all the way down to Beloit, or how far will they roam?
Well, they have the potential to move incredible distances. There's documentation of black bears moving hundreds of miles. They're a very mobile animal, and so it's possible that an animal would be able to move that far. It's not incredibly likely, but it's certainly within the realm of reason. And, you know, that's part of the reason that we're seeing expansion in this population, is that they do have this great dispersal ability, and they're also a generalist when it comes to habitat. They're willing to live in a lot of different places. And so combine the ability to move with being happy in most places that they land, and you sort of have a recipe for this range expansion that we've seen.
And Duane complimented the DNR for increasing the number of tags. Now, I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I assume that means a license to hunt bear.
We have had a significant increase in the number of tags available. There's tremendous amount of interest in bear hunting in the state. We had just under 110,000 people apply for a bear permit this year, and we issued around 11,500 tags. So it takes a while to get a tag with that many people looking for them, but we do have a very high-quality hunting experience in the state. We actually harvest more bear in Wisconsin than any other state in the country, and we have very high success rates. And so we've been able to combine a good high-quality hunting experience for the individuals interested in that with management practices that have led to a growing and expanding a very large population. And so we're trying to find that balance point in management between maximizing all the benefits that bears bring to our state and to our citizens, and trying to minimize the negatives. through conflict control and other practices, and hopefully we're doing an okay job of striking that balance.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with David McFarland from the Wisconsin DNR about all things bears in Wisconsin, welcoming your questions about bears, welcoming whatever experiences you've had with bears. Are you a bear hunter or are you a bear watcher? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Tom and Sun Prairie is with us now. Hi, Tom.
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead.
My story comes as recently as yesterday morning.
Oh, in Sun Prairie?
I'm a segment walker on the Ice Age Trail, and I was doing a segment up in Langlade. And yesterday morning, I was on the trail, came across a corner, and there are two bears about 3.5 as they're on all fours, 3.5 feet. And so I figured that they were yearlings. And one of them just ran off right away. The other one started coming at me, made about four steps towards me. I totally freak out, which I know I'm not supposed to do. And I then started backing away. I could hear them breathing and grunting, and I started yelling at the top of my lungs, "Naughty bear, naughty bear." And after about 20 seconds, the other one finally ran after the first one.
Well, I don't blame you for being startled and frightened, Tom, by stumbling onto two bears. So what advice for the next time this happens to Tom? What should he do, David?
Well, Tom, you did exactly the right thing. Screaming at that bear, yelling at it, letting it know you were there was exactly what you should do in that situation, and I'm glad that it was effective. Those types of encounters aren't too unusual. Bears are a very curious animal, and they will at times sort of sit and watch people for a little while, and maybe take a step or two closer. And that grunting that you heard, that's a typical behavior of bears. They'll sort of huff, and if they get real agitated, they'll start popping their teeth. They'll chatter their teeth together as they're sort of trying to figure out what's going on. But it sounds like what you did was exactly what we recommend. The animal had an escape route, and you made sure that it knew you were there, yelled at it, and its fear took over its curiosity, and it did the right thing and took off into the woods. And so I'm glad that turned out well, and it sounds like you have an interesting story to tell.
Yeah, thank you, Tom, for telling it here. That is great. And he should not have turned around and ran lickety-split in the other direction, because maybe the bear would have chased him?
Yeah, it's it's never a great idea to run away from any carnivore. The best thing to do is to back away slowly, through the way that you came. Just sort of go back in that direction and make sure it knows that you're there, and that's usually more than enough to resolve the situation.
Yeah. Earlier, I played a snippet of a children's song about meeting a bear out in the woods. That song ended up having the singer climbed a tree, and then I'm wondering about that. I mean, black bear can climb trees too, can't they?
They can. They're very adept climbers, and that's actually one way that they'll escape from situations that they don't want to be in, especially with cubs. Cubs can climb very quickly and very well, and so if there is a situation that a sow feels like she needs to protect the cubs from, the first thing that she'll often do is basically tell those cubs to climb a tree. And so oftentimes if you're walking in the woods, the first evidence that you're near bears will be hearing and seeing cubs scurrying up to trees, and that's a good cue to get yourself out of the area. But the adults can climb trees as well. They'll spend time up in trees just to rest and get away from things. And also sows will put their cubs up in trees, what we call nursery trees, and have them stay there while the sow goes out and forages. And so the sow has incredible nutritional requirements while she's raising cubs to produce enough milk and everything else. And so she'll put those sows up in a good, safe tree and then go out into the forest and find herself some food.
Yeah, what is she eating primarily?
Well, bears are taxonomically carnivores, but dietarily they're omnivores, and their diet is varied, and it's seasonal. When they first come out of the den in the spring, they're eating those first plants to green up. Sedge in sedge meadows, wetlands, things like that are a very important food source early in the year. And then as the summer comes on, they'll transition to other food sources. Ants and grubs, break open logs and find those and eat them. They'll also target berries when the berries become ripe, whether it's blueberries, blackberries, raspberries. And then as we get into the fall, they'll switch over to the hard mast that starts to become available, things like acorns and hazelnuts, those real high-calorie foods, as they try to put on some weight as they get ready for winter.
Yeah, Jerry on Facebook says, the part of living with bears that I do not enjoy is the end of our bird feeders outside our windows. There's no such thing as a bear-proof bird feeder, is there?
There's really not. And bears are notorious for eating bird seed and destroying feeders. Really, when people are putting out bird feeders, those are really wildlife feeders, and yeah, they're going to feed all wildlife, whether it's birds or squirrels or deer or bears. And so bears will find those, and they will tear them down and oftentimes destroy not only the bird feeder but whatever the feeder is hanging on as they do it. And so really the best recommendation is, if there is any bear activity at all, just not to feed the birds. Yeah. And I know people have strong feelings about feeding birds, but that really is the best way to prevent these very large animals from spending time in your yard.
Linda in Pewaukee is with us. Hello, Linda.
Hi. I was wondering if the guest could clarify something for me. Earlier he said that it is illegal to feed black bears in Wisconsin, and yet I thought that if you plan to hunt and kill a bear, that you could put out unlimited quantities of food for it basically throughout the year. And I didn't know if that meant that you had to possess a hunting license in order to feed bears, or how that works. So if the guest could answer that, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Sure, Linda. It is legal to use bait for hunting of bears, and that's a very common practice for states that do allow a hunting season. Baiting allows those animals to get in close range for hunters, which increases success rates, but it also increases the probability that you're going to have a very clean and quick kill of that animal, which is important. We don't want injured bears roaming the landscape, and so we do allow baiting, and there are rules associated with that in terms of the types of bait that can be used and the ways in which the bait can be placed, and also the quantity of bait that can be used. And so that is a legal hunting method, and with a recent change to state law, it's now legal for not only individuals who possess a hunting license, but also individuals who would like to help those people to place those baits. And so it is a bit of a distinction between feeding bears and baiting bears, but one of those is that the majority of these hunting baits are far away from residential areas out in larger blocks of land where you're not habituating that bear to a residence or to a business, a place where there's high densities of people. You're baiting an animal out in the woods. But yes, it is a legal hunting method.
Thank you, Linda, for the call. We'll take more calls with questions and stories about black bears in Wisconsin. We are holding all things bears discussion this hour with David McFarland, who is a carnivore specialist for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Kind of an increase in bear encounters, especially in southern Wisconsin in recent weeks. And we're talking about why that is, and we are talking about what to do should we encounter a bear, and we're welcoming your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll check news and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
I need that bear once more. That bear once more. That's all there is no more.
This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking about black bears in Wisconsin with David McFarland, who is a carnivore specialist for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Our conversation prompted in part by an alert that the DNR issued last month, telling us in southern Wisconsin to be on the lookout for black bear. Residents in Beloit and Barneveld and Baraboo and other communities in southern Wisconsin have recently reported numerous visits from black bears. Have you witnessed a black bear in your own backyard? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Dennis in Appleton is with us. Hello, Dennis.
Good morning.
Morning.
We had a neat experience in Marinette County a couple years ago. There was a sow walked through the yard with four cubs, and they never knew we were there to watch them. Just kind of playing, the cubs playing with each other, and the way the sow kept an eye on them. They are a beautiful animal, and I have a lot of respect for them. And also, in my experience, the yearling bears are the most unpredictable. One time they will run as soon as they see you. Next time they will almost stand there and challenge you to try and get the bull.
Yeah, you're kind of breaking up a little bit, Dennis. But he thinks it's a great experience, but yearlings can be unpredictable, David McFarland?
Well, Dennis isn't alone in thinking that seeing bears is a great experience. You know, it's there's a reason that they're on mugs and T-shirts and in all the gift shops in Minocqua and Hayward. So
yeah.
People really do enjoy seeing these animals. And you know, Dennis' observation on yearlings is you know fairly accurate. Those young bears are still trying to figure themselves out, especially as they're first making their way on their own. They've you know, spent their entire life with their mother to look to know how to respond to different situations. And then when they're finally on their own, you know, just like with people, when we're finally on our own, it takes us a little while to figure the world out. And it's no different with bears. And so they can be a little bit less predictable in terms of how they're going to respond to novel situations.
Let's take a Facebook comment from April. Are any bears moving into the area along the Wisconsin River, specifically the Sauk Prairie area? I hope so. Also, any strategies to mitigate conflict between bears and horses or other domestic animals?
Well, we have had bears moving into the lower Wisconsin Riverway. One of the first places that we had confirmed sows with cubs, which for a wildlife biologist is when we start having young produce, that tells us this is more than just a random sighting, that it's the beginning of an establishment of a population. And one of the first places in the southern part of the state that we identified that was in the Spring Green area. We've also had sows with cubs in the Baraboo Hills in the area around Devil's Lake. So there's definitely been some bear activity there recently. Then in terms of avoiding conflicts with livestock and other domestic animals, those conflicts are relatively rare with bears. It does happen, and it most frequently happens with young animals. And so during the calving season, for example, for our livestock producers, we do occasionally have conflicts where bears will kill and consume calves. I mean, they are a large carnivore. Conflicts with horses are much less common. If anything, the conflicts that we see there are bears getting a little too close to the horses and spooking them. But having actual direct contact between a bear and a horse is relatively rare. And the best way to avoid those things, especially in a horse situation, bears are very sensitive to electric fencing. And so if a person has electric fencing protecting their horses, keeping their horses in, that will also help keep bears out.
Dale in Three Lakes is with us now. Hi, Dale.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I had an experience last year. I was fishing on a little lake in our neighborhood, and a doe walked down an old power line right away. And shortly after, it was followed by a bear. I assume it was a boar. And it was very meticulous following that doe, and then it dove into the ferns, and it grabbed the fawn right in front of me.
Oh.
And took off running with it. So I got to witness, actually, the predation, which was an experience you'll probably never see again.
Yeah, and I said, oh, but I suppose that's the cycle of life or nature or whatever, David. But that's interesting that the bear was following the doe, presumably because it knew the doe was going to lead it to a fawn?
Well, yeah, bears eating fawns is not uncommon. That's a time period when fawns are very vulnerable to predation. That time period right after they're born, where they're essentially stationary, and the doe is coming in and feeding this stationary fawn. They're not really equipped to run or get away from predators, and so they are very vulnerable, and bears will take advantage of that. And they'll, you know, from research that's been done recently in the Upper Peninsula, it appears that it's actually a relatively small number of bears that figure out how to do that, but the ones that do will focus on that during that time period because that's a very calorie-rich resource for that bear. And so they will search for and kill fawns and consume them. Mm-hmm. And then once those fawns are up and mobile, then those rates of predation drop fairly quickly.
Is there conflict between... I don't know. Do deer hunters resent the bear population being bigger because they think the bear are reducing the deer population?
Well, I don't like to paint our deer hunters with one broad brush. So I'm sure that there are a variety of opinions on bears among deer hunters, but that view certainly does exist. There are people who would like to see the bear population reduced specifically to, in their perception, improve the deer population.
Yeah.
So we do hear that.
So do you feel the DNR is the bear population being managed to a point where that there shouldn't be a big conflict between the two species?
Well, that's been researched recently, both by folks from various universities and by the DNR itself, and we have identified predation, especially among fawns, by bears, but it doesn't appear that that rate of predation is high enough that it's having a very significant impact on the deer population. So it's something that we're aware of, and we have been monitoring them.
Yeah, besides a hunter, what predators do bear have, or what threats do bear have? Why wouldn't they, are they prone to any sorts of illnesses, et cetera?
Bears are one of our largest species. The only one bigger is an elk, and so an adult bear doesn't really have too much to worry about predation-wise. There is a possibility for predation for cubs, from some of the canids, so wolves or coyotes may try to pick up a cub if they have a chance. And then there's also cubs being killed by male bears, not for predatory purposes, but...
because they're not nice.
Yeah, it's for reproductive purposes by killing
cubs. Oh, they feel threatened by the cub?
No, by killing the cubs, they can bring that sow back into estrus quicker and have an opportunity to breed that sow and push their genetics into the next generation, which is the goal of these reproductive animals. And so that can happen. But once they get to be adult size, they really don't have anything to worry about from a predation standpoint. In terms of diseases, they are susceptible to a number of diseases. Mange can impact bears. That's a parasite. Then they can also be susceptible to some of the canid diseases, and there's some other things that can influence them. But for the most part, they're a fairly healthy animal. Once they get to be adult size, their survival rate is very high, and we haven't had any disease outbreaks in the state that have had any real influence on the population.
Dan in Manawa is with us. Hello, Dan.
Hello. I just have a story. When I grew up, my mother loved to go out and pick blackberries. And we would go out, and people warned us that bears liked blackberries. And I always told my mother that I had no fear of the bears because I knew I could run faster than she could.
Oh, Dan. I thought you were going to say that you could run faster than the bear, and I was going to say, no, you can't, but then I get it. It was a joke. Yeah. You know, my mom told us a story when she grew up around the northeastern Wisconsin, the Upper Peninsula, northern Wisconsin border, and she did have an encounter with a bear while berry picking, but all is well. I was going to ask one question I didn't get around to that I wanted to ask you, David McFarland, was the bear are hanging out in you know someone's backyard here in southern Wisconsin, in Madison, for example, will you come and move that bear, or do we think that bear is just going to move on its own?
Well, for the most part, these bears are very mobile, and they're not likely to spend any extended period of time in one person's yard unless they have a reason to. So if they're being rewarded for being there, you know, through a bird feeder or garbage or pet food or something else that the bear says, hey, this is a good spot to be, they may start to cause problems and be there for an extended period of time. We do have help available through the DNR, and people in the southern part of the state should call 1-800-433-0663. That's a wildlife conflict hotline, and they can access help there. And the majority of these cases, over two-thirds of these cases were able to resolve through technical assistance, just, working with the property owner to figure out what they can do differently to avoid those conflicts. But then one of the primary tools that we do use when it's warranted is trap and transfer, so we will capture these animals from residential locations where they're causing conflicts and move them back onto public lands, forested lands, try to get them out of there. And so we move quite a few bears each year, but oftentimes that can be avoided simply by removing food sources and other attractants.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you so much for being with us.
All right. Thanks much.
David McFarland, carnivore specialist for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Thank you to Brianne Chasso, Nyasia Ellison, Bill Martins, Kai Brito, and Marika Suval for producing The Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.